Very good. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Pastor Janky will be pleased to hear that his flock was still here even when he was gone. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to be there in a few moments. John chapter 15. You know, if we all were to make lists this morning and I had you take out a piece of paper and write down a few things that were important to you, all right, like a top 10 things that are important to you, I think it's safe to say that near the top of that list, or at least on that list, would be friendships. Okay, friendships are important to us. We all value our friendships. We should. We really should. Friends are a gift from God. Friends are a blessing. And it's very important to us. And in friendships, you can experience good things. Unfortunately, sometimes in friendships, we experience not so good things. Maybe somebody lets us down, somebody does something wrong, and that can hurt the friendship. But friendships are important, and sometimes we go through situations. But this morning, I'd like to preach about the best friendship ever. Okay, the best friendship ever. And that, of course, would be our friendship with the Lord, because He's a friend that will never let us down. He's a friend that will never fail. And we're going to see a lot of things about the Lord Jesus Christ that proves He is the best friend you could ever have. Sometimes we put some of our friends above the Lord. Sometimes we care more about what other friends think than what the Lord thinks, and we got to put the Lord first because He's the best friend anyway. So let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look in His Word this morning. Lord, I just thank You that we can look into the Bible, that You've given us a Bible, that we can know what Your will is. We can know about You. We don't have to go through life guessing and hoping and wondering if we're doing the right thing. Lord, You've given us Your Word very clear that we can see what pleases You and what doesn't. And Lord, this morning as we look into having the best friendship, I pray that we would leave here challenged, desiring to have a closer friendship with You, and that we would put our friendship with You first place in our lives. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's nice to look up words because sometimes we use words and we just make up our own definitions. This is what Webster says the word friend means. A friend is a person whom one knows well and is fond of, a close acquaintance. All right, that's what a real definition of the word friend is. Someone that you're fond of, someone that is close to you. And what better person than the Lord to be fond of and to have as a close friend? And you know, that's what God wants from us. That's what God desires more than anything. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion. Because what God wants with us is a friendship, a relationship, a close relationship. Other religions, their gods are very far and very distant. Other religions, their God is a very mean-spirited being that forces them to do things that they don't want to do. And other religions, their God, if they mess up, they fear that their God is going to just crush them. And they live their lives in that type of a way, a very fearful life, because that's the God they worship. Whereas the God of the Bible is a totally different God. Now listen, our God is all powerful, and He can do whatever He wants. And the Bible says we ought to fear Him. We ought not to have this attitude, ah, oh, well, you know, don't think that God is up in heaven and He's this, people get this idea of a grandfatherly figure sitting on a throne, and He kind of says everything's okay. I understand, no big deal. I know you're sinning and this and that. That's not the God of the Bible, okay? Our God does judge sin. Our God is all powerful, and He doesn't tolerate sin. But there's another side of our God, and that is He's a God of love, and He says, I want to be in a friendship with you. I want a close relationship with you. That's what God wants. That's what being saved is all about. Being born again is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you walk with Him day by day. You have a close friendship with Him, and you can have that. Listen, anybody in this church right now is capable of having a close friendship with the Lord if you know Christ is your Savior. Okay, that's the first starting point here. You cannot be a friend of the Lord if you're not saved. Impossible. All right, if you do not, if there's never been a time in your life where you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and cleanse you from your sins, then you can't have a friendship with Him, because you know why? You guys are separated. You and the Lord are separated by a barrier called sin. God has no fellowship with sin. So that's the first step. If you want to be a friend with the Lord, you have to be saved. For those that are saved, everybody in here that is saved is able to have a friendship with the Lord. There's nobody in this room that God would look upon and say, well, I'm sorry, I can't have a friendship with you because of this, this, and this. Anybody can. You know, Jesus gives an open invitation to anybody and everybody that desires to have a friendship with him. God gives an open door invitation. God doesn't have a clique, if you will. Okay, you know that? God doesn't have favorite friends, and then the others are kind of excluded and left out. You know, that happens sometimes, and that's sad. And that's a sad day if we have that in our church, where we have cliques, and well, these people only fellowship together, and these people can't fellowship with this group in the church because they don't get along. That's a sad day if that ever happens in our church. We don't want that, because God says, you're all my friends. He opens the door to everybody, and within the church, we ought to have one friendship. We ought to be one body, not little separate groups. All right? Well, what are some things that friends do? All right? What are some things that friends do? You know, one thing that friends do is friends spend time together. That's obvious. That's what makes you friends. All right? How can you say, yeah, we're real good friends? Well, when's the last time you did anything together? Well, it's been about 3 years. We really don't do much together. We never see each other. We never talk to each other. Well, that's not a friendship. Okay? Friends spend time together. Look in John 15. John 15, verse 14. This is just an amazing verse where Jesus is speaking here in John 15, 14. Jesus says, ye are my friends. That's an amazing thing. The creator of the world to say that to us. You're my friends. Okay? You are my friends. He says, if you do whatsoever I command you. We'll talk about that in a moment. Notice it's a little condition there. Okay, remember, you know, there's something you have to do. If you keep my commandments, and in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus spent, he specifically here is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his 12 disciples, the ones he's been spending 3.5 years with, because by the time you're in John 15, we're close to the end of Christ's life here on this earth. We're coming close to the end, coming close to the crucifixion, which we will be specifically remembering, especially in the month of April, you know, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Good Friday. These are just, you know, talk about special times that we ought to honor and really turn our hearts towards the Lord. But this is coming close to that. And he says, listen, I've just spent 3.5 years with you guys. I just spent all this time with you. And he says, I have showed you all the things that I've heard of my Father. I've taught you for 3.5 years. I've trained you. He says, that's why I'm calling you friends. If it were simply a master-servant relationship, if that was the extent of it, Christ would not have spent as much time with them. Christ would not have poured out his heart to his disciples. But Jesus looked at his disciples not just as his servants. Yes, they were still his servants. They were supposed to obey him because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is our master. But that's not the only side, you see. Sometimes we make mistakes when we just focus on one aspect of the Lord. And we just focus on one part of the Lord. Oh, well, he's our master and we're his servants and that's it. And you know, that we get this idea that, you know, we're distant from him. There's more to it. Jesus said, I've spent all this time with you. I've spent 3.5 years with you. I've taught you everything that you need to know. I've poured out my heart to you. Jesus has spent all this time with them, and he says, I call you friends because we've been so close. He was so close with them. They did everything together. They went everywhere together. They ate meals together. It wasn't this type of thing where Jesus was sitting back somewhere and calling all the orders and sending, you go here, you do this, you do that. Jesus was actually with them. There was so much more to it than just Jesus being the Lord and them being the servants. Jesus actually spends time with us. Jesus is not just up in heaven, if you will, telling us everything to do and just sending us out, and that's it. Jesus is actually with us when we serve him. So Jesus says, yes, go and serve me, go do these things. But Jesus also says, I'll be with you when you're doing it. I'll go with you. I'll be right there by your side, holding your hand, if you will. And that's what the Lord, that's the relationship we can have with him. We're his friends, you see. He called us friends, spending time together. So the question is, are we spending time with the Lord? You cannot sit there and say, yeah, I'm a good friend with the Lord. We're close. But then if I were to ask you, well, how much time have you spent with him? And the question is, how do we spend time with God? Well, one way is what we're doing right now. This is one way. This is one of many ways. Another way is reading his word. All right, reading the Bible every day. That's one way you can spend time with God. Praying. So are you doing those things? Are you faithful to church? Are you reading the Word of God daily? Are you spending time with Him? Because if you're not, then your friendship's going to not be close as it should be. Like I said, you can't, two people don't say they're best of friends and then never talk to each other for weeks on end. Okay, they talk. Look at James, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. There's a man in the Old Testament that was called a friend of God. You know who he is. James chapter 2, verse 23. Many of you know who this is. James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham. Okay, the man who was told to leave his homeland and follow the Lord into a land he had never been to. You know, Abraham, leave everything you know and go to such and such a place that you've never been to. And someday your descendants will inherit this land. And he went out by faith. And he spent a lot of time with the Lord. I mean, what was Abraham doing all those years when he was walking around that land? God said, I just want you to walk around the land of Israel. You know, you're going to be living in the tent. You know, you're just going to, wherever I lead you, you're going to go. He was spending time with God, all right? He was spending time with the Lord, and that's why he was called a friend of God. And look at Philippians. Look in Philippians. Just turn back a few books. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The Apostle Paul, all right? You know the Apostle Paul, great man of God. And what was his number one desire? What was Paul's heart's desire? Look at chapter 3, verse 10 of Philippians. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Notice he says two things here that would lead to a friendship. Knowing the Lord. He says that I may know him, to be close to the Lord. That I may know him, and also it talks about fellowshipping with him. Fellowshipping, experiencing the things that he's been through and understanding the Lord, that's how we can be close friends with him. And Paul said, this is my number one desire, to fellowship with the Lord, to know him, and to have this friendship. And you know what's nice? One of the things that makes the Lord, having the Lord, the best friendship ever, is because he's always available. No matter how good you are of friends with somebody else, there may come a time where that person is not around anymore. There may come a time where that person moves away. Or maybe there's a time where that person goes home to be with the Lord, or whatever the case might be. And then you're going to be saddened because that friend is no longer there. You know, there's nothing is permanent in this life. We live in a very, you know, life is, we live in temporary. We're only here for a short time. And then we're in eternity forever and ever. But you know what's nice is the Lord, he's always available. He'll never be unavailable. There will never be a time where you go to the Lord and you'll get a busy signal. There will never be a time where you try to reach him and he says, well, I'm sorry, I'm busy right now. I don't have time for you. The Lord will always be available. He's always there. That's why you can have the best friendship with the Lord. So again, do you desire to know him? Are you seeking him? It's something we have to do. We have to seek him. He's there. He's waiting. Jesus is there. He's waiting. All right? He just wants us to come to him. And then he'll gladly spend time with us. Well, that's one thing friends do. They spend time together. Another thing that friends do, and this is obvious, is they speak to each other. When friends aren't getting along, they normally have a time period of not speaking to each other. Hopefully spouses don't have this too often either. The not speaking time. We're not talking to each other right now. We're not getting along right now. And you know, you have a few days of just not talking to each other. That's a bad, you know, that's a sign of some problems. When two people aren't on speaking terms. So if your friendship is good, though, you speak to each other. You spend time talking to each other because things are the way they should be. And notice, God has done his part. God has done his part in speaking to us. All right, he spoke to Adam way back in the very beginning of time. He spoke to Adam on a daily basis. And then, of course, one day Adam messed up. Adam sinned. And Adam didn't want to talk to God. Adam was hiding from God. He didn't want to talk because their relationship was broken. And God had to go looking for Adam. Not that he didn't know where he was, but he wanted Adam to come out and say what he did. He said, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding? You see, God had to kind of get some things out there. to get Adam to confess. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham like we just saw. God spoke to Moses. He spoke to the Old Testament prophets. He then spoke to us through Christ. And now today, he put it all into a nice letter right here. It's all right here now. So God speaks to us. He's already done his part. He's spoken to us right from this book. So guess what? Every time you open this book, God is talking. God is talking to you. That's how you know. That's how you hear. That's how you talk to God. That's how you listen to God. All right? God doesn't talk to us through dreams anymore. Some people think that God talks to you through dreams and things like that. That's not how God talks to us today. We don't need somebody to come up here and give us a special revelation from the Lord and say, well, this is a new letter. You see, last night I wrote these things down, and I'm here to proclaim to you this morning here at Community Baptist Church that this is God's word for today, because this is what God told me last night when I was at my house. We don't need that either. God's already spoken, and the books have been closed. The books are ended. This is it. There's no new revelation. You don't need God to speak to you with an audible voice that you can hear, because God's already spoken in his word. This is the word of God, and that's it. So you don't need God to speak to you directly. So guess what? God's done his part in speaking to us. So the question then, are you listening? A good friend listens, do they not? What kind of friend do you have if you talk to them and then you ask them, you say, you know what I mean? And they're just like, what? What did you just say? Yeah, you've just been talking on the phone to them for about 5 minutes about something that's important to you, and then you ask them how they feel about it. You know, what is your advice? And then they're just kind of like, well, what'd you say? And they didn't even listen to a word you just said. Well, that's not a good friend. A good friend will listen. So if we're going to have a good friendship with the Lord, we got to listen to what he's saying. But yet so often we don't want to listen to what God has to say. We close the book. We put it on a shelf. We leave it there. We don't read it. So we're not being a good friend to the Lord, because we're not listening to what he has to say to us. You see? Or are we too busy listening to everybody else? Sometimes we listen to everybody else and we listen to God last. You know, we look to the world for advice. We look to the television for advice. It's not a good place to look for advice. All right, God's word has stood the test of time. God, the creator of life, I think he knows what's best for us. He created us. He made us. He made the world. I think he knows what the right choices are to make. All right, he's the creator. You know, if I'm going to put something together, if I'm going to put whatever it is, a piece of furniture together, if I have to assemble something, I want the instruction booklet from the people that made it. I don't want to listen to somebody else. Well, yeah, you should just put this piece here and put that piece there, and that's how sometimes we do things. We just do it our own way, and then we end up having a mess. God made everything, so he's the one that knows how to put it together. This is the best instruction manual you'll ever have. So just listen to it. But you know, there's all friendships are two-way. All right, if you have a friend and you're the only one that ever talks and they never talk to you, well, that's a one-sided friendship. And that's no fun. That's just one-sided. All right? If you never do any talking back, well, then you're not going to have a close friendship. So God's spoken to us. We need to listen to him. And then God wants us to speak to him. He wants us to talk to him in prayer. You know, that's a two-sided thing. We listen to God, we read his word, and then God wants us to talk to him. All right? He doesn't want it just to be one-sided. He wants us to listen to him, and then he will listen to us. God delights in our prayers. The Bible says that. Look at Proverbs 15:8. God actually enjoys to hear you pray. It brings him great joy when his children pray. God takes special interest in your prayers. Don't ever think, oh, well, you know, God's too busy. I don't want to bother him. I don't want to bother God with my silly requests. Don't think that way. God wants to hear you pray. And no request is silly to God. God never thinks your prayers are silly. All right? God delights in hearing it. Listen, Proverbs 15, verse 8. The Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in when you pray. And don't ever think, oh, he's too busy. I don't want to bother the Lord. No, he wants you to bother him, okay? He wants to be bothered by you, and it's not a bother to him. He wants to hear you pray. So go to him in prayer to help develop your friendship with him. All right? He'll never be too busy. All right? He'll always listen. And again, other friends might not always be able to listen to you. Some other friends might be busy. The Lord's never too busy for you. So friends, they spend time together. Friends speak to each other. Number three, friends stroll together. All right, just so we could keep S words. Stroll. They spend time, they speak to each other, and they stroll together. In other words, they walk together. Friends walk together. Again, if you are looking at two people and you're observing from a distance and you see them walking down a sidewalk and then all of a sudden you see a sudden stop and then you might see red faces, you know, flailing of arms, and then you see them go the opposite direction, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that obviously they just had an argument and they're not, you know, they're not doing well right now. You've seen them walking down the sidewalk, and then, you know, you're looking from a distance, and then you see them stop, and you see them talking, and then you see them go the opposite way, anger, you know, in anger. Well, they're not walking together anymore because they're not on speaking terms, like we said. Well, when we're friends, when we're close to the Lord, we should be walking with Him. All right, walking closely, walking with Him. Listen, look at Genesis chapter 5. Again, these are familiar verses. You know these verses. Genesis 5, we've looked at these before. Genesis 5, verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. What a great testimony. He walked with God in Genesis 5, 22. Enoch walked with God, and you know that later on, the Lord gave Enoch a special blessing. Enoch never had to experience death. Enoch is one of two men in the Bible that never had to experience death because God just took him home with him. God just, the Bible says, translated him, took him into heaven. And, you know, you've heard the story where it was as though God and Enoch were walking together, and then at the end of the evening, God said, you know what? You're closer to my place. You might as well just come home with me. Because Enoch was so close to God that God just took him and said, you know what? Come home with me. You're so close to me, just come on up anyway. You know, you don't have to wait till you die or anything like that. Just come right up. And Enoch was blessed. Another man in the next chapter, Genesis 6, verse 9, another special man. Genesis 6, 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. These are guys that just walked with the Lord. In their daily lives, they walked with God. God was in their thoughts as they walked. You can walk with God. How do you walk with God? Well, obviously, it's not literally, okay, because God is up in heaven. But yet, God is also, if you're a born-again Christian, God is also in your heart, is He not? The Holy Spirit dwells within you, and you can walk with Him simply by thinking about Him, by acknowledging Him as you go through your daily life. Don't be so busy with life's routines that you forget about God. You know, you think maybe you wake up in the morning, you have your quick prayer, you think about the Lord, and then the whole day, you don't think about the Lord at all. Well, that's not walking with God. And then at nighttime, when you lay your head on your pillow, then you might think about God for maybe 2 minutes, and then you're out for the night, all right? Because once the head hits the pillow, you know, that's it. You're done. You know what? Listen, throughout the day, in between the morning and the evening, thinking about the Lord, that's how you walk with Him. That's how you walk with God, all right? It's not no secret formula. There's no special plan. Just think about Him throughout the day. That's how you walk with God. Just keep Him in your mind. Keep Him in your thoughts. Pray to Him throughout the day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means pray, have an attitude of prayer all day long. You can pray while you work. All right? I'm not saying you have to close your eyes and bow your head while you're working to pray. You could pray throughout the day. Okay? You could pray all the time as you're going through life's routines, keeping the Lord in your mind. That's how you walk with God. That's what walking with God is all about. How can you walk with God? What's required? Well, remember what we saw in John 15, 14. Remember when we first started this morning? John 15, 14, where Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I said we'd talk about that, and this is when we're going to mention this. In order to walk with God, you have to be obedient to Him. You have to follow His word. You can't just live life any way you want to and expect God to follow you around. God doesn't follow you around doing, you know, while you're doing whatever you want to do. That's not how God works. God says, no, listen, I'm going this way. And if you want to walk with me, you got to follow me and you got to walk this way. You don't walk down your own pathway and say, yep, I'm going this way. I'm going to do what I want to do and expect God to just tag along with you and follow you and do everything that you're, you know, and endorse everything you're doing. God doesn't do that because God is holy and righteous. God is perfect and He's walking the right path. When you get off the right path and you're on the wrong path, well, God stays on the right path. He doesn't leave the right path to just follow you around and do what you want to do and say, oh, yeah, yep, this is cool, no problem. God doesn't work that way. God is perfect and holy. He doesn't leave the right road. So if you want to walk with God, guess what? You got to get on his road. Because God's not leaving the right road. God won't leave the right road. God's perfect. So if you want to walk with the Lord, you got to obey him and follow him. You got to get in his line. You got to follow him. He's leading the way. You know what else you need to walk with the Lord? Like we just said, you need faith. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. You need faith because, listen, we cannot see God. We cannot see God, yet we believe in him. We believe in him because we see the evidence. I mean, all you have to do is look up, look around, see his creation. You know there's a God out there. That's why the Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. For a person to sit there and say there is no God, well, that's a sign of a fool. All right? And a fool is somebody that's chosen to reject knowledge. Because all you have to do is look around. All you have to do is look at yourself. Look at how your body's been put together. And yet you can sit there and say, oh, there's no God. Well, the Bible then says, well, you're a fool for you to be able to say that. So we can't see God. We can't see him with our eyes, but we can see the evidence, and we have his word, and we have, you know, the Holy Spirit that convicts us, so we know he's there. But you still need faith, because Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says, talking about Enoch again, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So see, Enoch was pleasing God. Now you ask the question, how is he pleasing God? Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So how do we please God? Faith. Just believing in him, trusting in him, having faith. That makes God happy. And let's look at Amos 3:3. Listen, if you want to walk with God, like I said, you have to be on the right path. But also, Amos 3:3, you have to be in agreement with God. You have to be in agreement with God. In other words, agree with the Lord and what he says. When God says something, agree with him. Don't be the type where you're always arguing against God. Where God says one thing and then, you know, well, no, I don't know about that. I don't like that. Don't be that way. Agree with the Lord. Look at Amos 3:3. It's just a short little verse, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the obvious answer is no. Like we just said in the beginning, if two people are standing there walking down the street and then all of a sudden they stop and separate, it's because they're not in agreement anymore. People don't walk together unless they're in agreement. Well, again, the same thing is true with the Lord. God's not going to walk with us. We're not going to be able to walk with him if we're not in agreement with him. So we have to be in agreement with the Lord, agreeing over what he says about our sin. If God calls something sin, well, then we have to agree with him and say, yes, I'm sorry, Lord, that is sinful. Sorry for what I did. Don't try to change it around and make it to be something that it's not. You know, today, people have such a way of taking sinful things and renaming them. Sinful lifestyles become called, they simply are called now alternative lifestyles. It's just an alternative lifestyle. Well, God calls it sin. People that have problems with maybe substance abuse, etc., alcoholism, it's called a disease now. Or they have a sickness. The Bible calls it sin. All right? Albeit, yeah, maybe it is a sickness. It's a sin sickness. All right? Only the Lord can heal it. We have a way of renaming things, trying to sugarcoat things and name them differently. God calls it sin, and that's what we have to do. So, we friends spend time together, they speak together, they stroll together, and now, number four, and we're almost to the end here, they stick together. Good friends stick together, all right? That's the test of a friendship. If a hard time comes, maybe you, for whatever reason, hit rock bottom, you'll find out who your real friends are, the ones that stick with you. The ones that run away, say, I'm out of here. You're going through a hard time. I don't really want to help you. I'm leaving. They're not your true friends. You'll find out who your true friends are when you go through a hard time. You'll find out who the true friends are. And true friends stick together. They don't leave each other in hard times. And here's the blessing. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Here's why the Lord is the best friend ever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best friend ever. Because in Hebrews 13:5, it says this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See that? God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there for you whenever you need him, and he is the best friend ever. When you go through hard times, the Lord is there. He's the first one that's there. He's always there. And he understands better than any other friends that you have, because God knows us better than anybody else does. So see, the Lord is the best friend you can ever have. No matter what, he's always there. Look at John 14, verse 18. So in the good times, in the bad times, the Lord is there. John 14, verse 18. Even if everybody else leaves you, the Lord is still there. John 14, verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. See that? I will come to you. I will never leave you comfortless. When you need comforting, I will always be there to help you. Jesus said that. Good times, bad times, he understands it all. The book of Proverbs says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus will stick closer than any friend you have and closer than any brother or sister you might have. The Lord is closer to you than them. That's why we can have the best friendship ever with him. You know, very often, so-called friends will disappear when difficulties come. All right, but that'll never be true to the Lord. The Lord will never desert you. He'll never just leave you or forsake you. So the question is us. Do we leave the Lord when times get tough? See, if we're going to be a good friend with the Lord when times get tough, guess what? We're still going to stick close to the Lord. Because sometimes a sad thing, Christians, they go through a hard time, they go through situations, and the first person they want to point the finger at is God. God, why are you putting me through this? This is not fair. And they point the finger at God, and they leave him behind. When they need him most is when they're accusing him and leaving him. So when you go through hard times, that's when more than ever you need to be close to the Lord. And he'll never leave you, so why should we leave him, you see? Well, the last point, friends also sacrifice for each other. Last point, friends sacrifice for each other. This is a test of a great friendship. You know, again, often people will become your friend just because they want to use you. That's a sad thing. Some people, they will just use you and then they'll be gone. All right, a true friend is one that will give, not one that will take. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the best friend because he, look at John 15, 13. John 15, verse 13. This is the verse right before the verses we looked at the very beginning. Jesus said in John 15, 13, a wonderful verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is the ultimate love. Some men that are in here maybe that have served in the armed forces in previous wars can testify to this. The greatest love that can ever be exhibited is when a fellow soldier will lay down his life for his fellow men. The greatest love is called the supreme sacrifice. There's no higher love. All right, and Jesus here did that for us. The greatest love ever. He laid down his life for us so that we don't have to experience the punishment of hell. You know, it's not God's will for anybody to go to hell. Did you know that? God's will is, you know why hell was created? You know who hell was created for? The devil and the demons. That's what hell was created for. God never created hell for people to go there. But if a person refuses to come to Christ, if a person dies without Christ, they're still in their sin. God's holy. God's perfect. And therefore, when we die, we stand before the Lord. The Bible says, "For it is appointed unto every man to die, and after this, the judgment. We stand before the Lord. And when God looks at us, when we are standing before him, when we have taken our last breath, and we stand before him, and he sees us, if we've never been saved, we're still sinners. Because our sins have never been forgiven. God's holy and perfect. He cannot allow sin into heaven. So he has no choice. See, God is love and he wants everybody to come to heaven, but God can't allow sin into heaven. So therefore, he has no choice. He's holy and just. He has to cast that person into hell. Not because God delights in doing so. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, God is not willing that any should perish. God never wants anybody to go to hell. Okay? But if we remain in our sin and we stay stubborn and we say, no, I'm not going to be saved. I'm going to do it my way. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to ask Jesus to be my savior, but then we leave God no other option. So you see here, Jesus died for us so that nobody would have to go there, so that everybody can trust in him, whoever wants to. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Anybody. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever. The door is open, but you have to walk through it. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and find pasture. You know, green pastures. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus made the supreme sacrifice. You have to receive it. You have to receive it in order for it to work for you. It's not this blanket salvation where Jesus died on the cross and now everybody's going to heaven. That's not the case. Jesus said, you have to receive it and believe in me. The Bible says, to them that received him and to them that believed on his name, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Only those people that receive Christ become his children. There's no automatic ticket to heaven. Oh, yeah, my mom and dad, they're Christians. They go to church, and I've been going to church since I was 3 years old, so I'm going to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. Just because your parents are saved and your parents maybe are in heaven doesn't mean you're going to go there. There is no automatic ticket to heaven. I was baptized when I was a baby, many might say. So I'm going to heaven, right? No, that, you know what? Honestly, that doesn't really do much for you. That doesn't wash away any sin. All right? There's only one thing in this world that can wash away sin. It's the blood of Christ. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. That water won't wash away anything. Okay? I had a former pastor that said, man, I'm glad baptism doesn't wash away sin because I wouldn't want to get in that baptismal tank with anybody. I wouldn't want to get in that water, you know, that sinful water. No, listen, only the blood of Christ can wash away sins. That's it. So the question is, have you received that sacrifice? That's the only way you could become a friend of Christ. So, you know, friends, they spend time together. They speak to each other. They stroll together. They stick together, and they sacrifice for each other. So the question is, are we doing our part? You know, it's a two-way street. God's done his part, all right? God's done everything he could ever do. There's nothing more God could do for us. What more can you ask from God than that he has already done? He's done it all. So now it's up to you. Now it's up to you to take advantage of it. He's waiting, all right? And in a few moments, we're going to sing a song of invitation here. And we're going to open up the altar. You know, this is a time where you could come forth and pray. Maybe your friendship hasn't been what it should be. Maybe you've been struggling a little bit. You know, things get in between. Nobody's perfect. We all struggle. For us, for anybody to stand up and say, yeah, my friendship with the Lord is perfect. I need no improvements. Well, there's a problem right there. That's called pride. And that's something to deal with. Because none of us are perfect. We all have to work on it. It's a daily thing. Every day, working at that friendship, making it better. No perfect friendship in this world. Now, Jesus is perfect, but we're not. So we're the ones that need to work on things. So we're going to have a time where you could come forward and pray. Or maybe, most important thing of all, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Before you leave this church, that should be taken care of. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of the next hour. I heard on the news the other day, I don't know if you heard about it. I believe he was 26 or 29-year-old teacher dropped dead in front of his sixth grade classroom. Now, I didn't hear the reason afterwards. I don't think they knew it at the time. How in the world? 26-year-old teacher drops dead in front of his sixth grade class. Just collapsed, died right there in a classroom. We're not guaranteed anything. Bible says you don't know when it's gonna happen, so you gotta get ready before it happens. Because once it happens, it's too late. So we're gonna sing a song of invitation. Why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll sing a song of invitation. Lord, I thank you that we can have your word so clearly given to us, Lord. There's no questions about what it means. It's very clear. And Lord, you want us to be in a close friendship with you. So I pray that each one here would develop that we would all work on it. And if there's things we have to deal with, things we have to get taken care of, I pray that we would do so today. And Lord, for anybody that's here this morning that does not know the Lord as their Savior, maybe somebody here says, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Well, Lord, I pray that they come forward so we can show them from the Bible. Just show them what your word says, how they can believe in you and be saved and have that comfort of knowing that they'll be in heaven. So I pray that as we sing this song, you would work in hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.